Off the Ball, GAA.
But the reason we carry a smaller panel is because some players can't live to those standards and cultures that we're trying to achieve.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Rugby Daily with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome to Monday's Rugby Daily. I'm Richie McCormack. On the way, reaction to Ireland's opening round defeat in the Women's Six Nations. We hear from Leo Cullen and Will Connors as Leinster switch their focus from defeat to the Bulls to this week's meeting with the Sharks, and the latest on Antoine Dupont's ligament injury. Rugby Daily and Off the Ball is with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing. First up today, the Ireland squad are recovering following Saturday's 27 points to 15 defeat to France at Kingspan Stadium in Belfast. Aoife Wafer's second try of the match, 14 minutes from time, had brought the hosts to within 2 points of their illustrious visitors. But Morgan Bourgeois kicked a penalty 9 minutes from the end to offer France some breathing room, and they sealed the win when Bourgeois converted an Emily Boulard try. After the game, Ireland head coach Scott Beaman spoke to Off the Ball's Megan Scully.
Scott, can you sum up that for us?
It's a really tough result. The girls are really disappointed. Last year we came out of a game and we managed to score some points that we hadn't scored in 3 years. Now the expectation of the group's different. We felt we had a chance today. 70 minutes, we think we're in a game. And a little bit of composure, a little bit of self-inflicted errors has led to a scoreboard going away from us. So we could say we're disappointed in not getting a losing bonus point out of the game, but actually it's not that the group's disappointed about. They're disappointed about not converting a game that we felt we could have gone on and won.
That second half, you know, there was some incredible performances, and Emily spoke to us during the week about the green wave. We certainly saw that.
There's a group that want to fight for each other. You look at how France came out. We thought they'd come out fast and hard. We thought we knew we'd have to match that. We knew we could end up absorbing, but trying not to let them into our 22. We've given them a couple of easy entries, which doesn't sort of make it easier for us. But what we have done is we've stuck together, and sort of entries 3, 4, and 5, we've kept them out. We've gone out, we've met them, we've managed to turn the tide. So, look, we're building our resilience. Ideally, we're not in there in the first place. Ideally, we can control a little bit more field position, which lets us get more of our game on the pitch. And probably when we're in it and we're starting to ask questions, how we kick on and build pressure on them. So I just feel like we've let them off the hook a little bit at the end.
Some incredible individual performance as well. I have to say, Aoife Wafer, what a powerhouse.
Aoife lives for these kind of games. Look, she's a rising talent. She's a bright star in the game. We want people coming here. We want people to come and support us, come down and make a crowd. And some of the performances out there, some of the players that we've got, are going to become real icons and role models for people, both boys and girls alike. So, look, we've got a really strong back row. Aoife's managed to come through, even though she's been heavily marked at times. She's been able to come through and make some good decisions and make some yards and get herself over the line. So, yeah, look, another good performance. What we've got to do now is get back to HBC, recircle the wagons, and go again, because it doesn't stop coming. There's another big week coming next week.
What will be the areas you'll be most looking to improve on?
Probably that little bit of composure and self-inflicted errors. We knew France would have us under pressure at times. How we can manage pressure so that we can finish on our terms, how we don't get too giddy and excited if we break the line and throw the ball on the floor, how we can keep the composure with what a backfield and how that works so that we can field the ball on our terms, how we can either strike back with ball in hand or kick back and ask a good question of our opponents. So we're not sort of giving players or teams easy ins from self-inflicted errors. That'll come. It's not something we're doing on purpose. We keep trying to grow how we execute under that pressure, and the more we do, the better we'll be.
You mentioned the girls fighting for each other, but there must also be a fight on for jerseys. It is, of course, World Cup year.
It's getting tougher to get in this team. We're going to have to compete again to represent the island of Ireland, to show what the wave can do. But we're building our depth. We've got more coming through. There's girls that over the next couple of weeks are going to get an opportunity to come out here and put an Irish shirt on and show everybody what they can do.
Absolutely, I was going to ask you, there's some young blood coming along the way there that'll be only dying to get a run out for the Six Nations.
There's a lot coming through. The girls that you see are the lucky ones that get to represent where we currently are. The harder we push in behind that, the better the group will be. The better the group can be, the more likelihood we've got of taking those nearlies, those 70 minutes to a full 80, and hopefully converting some more of those performances into victories.
I saw Sam and Bevan, and I know Bevan's back training. I think Sam hopefully will be back for maybe the start of the summer. How important is it to have players such as them along with the squad?
Look, they're pretty close to, well, they're pretty much involved with the group as we speak, both through either rehabbing and obviously Sam's captaincy role within the group. She's still a leader, she's still a captain alongside Adele. So she's still adding bits to the group at any opportunity. Yes, we want to keep continuing to get people back. Remember, this is like Stacey Flood's first came back after an injury, and she's returned in good time. You know, so performances are going to keep getting stronger. Girls coming back in keeps adding to competition, and hopefully we can keep growing our wave.
Next up for Ireland, it's Italy in Parma on Sunday, and we'll hear from both Niamh O'Dowd and Erin King on that game later in the week.
Coming soon to your Off the Ball podcast feed.
I'm nervous and always will use tear gas.
Yes. Oh, Jesus.
You're looking at two of the best professional wrestlers in Mexico City.
Saying we won after your team's won a football game is like saying I had sex after I'm watching porn.
So if you hear anything about the Gringo Loco, that's me, okay?
We were on our own at 3,600 meters.
We have that mark as narcos, cocaine, violence as a Pablo Escobar thing.
To be honest with you, if I never see Route 40 again, I will be a happy, happy man.
Diverted, a 10-part Off the Ball original series telling the story of sport and other things all the way through Latin America.
I thought Route 40 was the most lonely road in the world. Turns out Route 25 is somehow even lonelier.
Available soon for free on the OTB app.
Paul O'Connell could be left in charge of Ireland for this summer's tests with Georgia and Portugal. According to Gerry Thornley in this morning's Irish Times, interim Ireland coach Simon Easterby and scrum coach John Fogarty will join Andy Farrell's Lions backroom staff. Confirmation of Farrell's lieutenants will come on Wednesday morning. Antoine Dupont has undergone surgery today to rectify his knee injury. As if you need reminding, the France scrum half suffered another rupture of cruciate ligaments in his right knee during that win for France over Ireland at the Aviva. Dupont sustained the same injury in 2018 with the same knee as well and faces between 6 to 9 months on the sidelines. Leinster say Rob Russell has been ruled out of their URC fixture away to the Sharks, and perhaps more. The winger has been curtailed to 2 replacement appearances this season and has suffered a hamstring injury in training. Jordan Larmour, meanwhile, remains absent with the injury that's kept him out since Christmas, taking longer than expected to recover. Cormac Foley and Paddy McCarthy also remain absent. Head coach Leo Cullen, though, wasn't too downcast this afternoon, despite the manner of their loss to the Bulls at the weekend.
Listen, there's lots of good stuff in the game. You know, it's a very tough place to come, we know. Unusual conditions. I thought the lads had a good week's training here, as in Pretoria last week. And yeah, it's disappointing in that position. They're a good team, very good team. You know, we came unstuck there last year in the semi-finals. So, and you know, listen, we're pleased with the group that we have had during the course of Six Nations, because I think a lot of players have made a lot of progress, which is pleasing and ultimately what you want. So, it's grown the depth, the competition, all the rest. So, yeah, you get yourself in that position. So, like, there's a real opportunity there for you, and you can't quite close it out. But listen, for a number of the guys that are there, like, it's an amazing experience. You know, you think who's on the field at the end of the game in particular. Your first half, you have to deal with quite a few disruptions. So you lose 2 players to HIAs, you lose 2 other guys to pings that come back on just with the gum shields. So you can see probably they're both a little bit bemused, Andrew and Ross coming off, but here we go. And anyway, so you deal with some of that disruption in the first half, get ourselves in a good position, score a good try, have another try disallowed. Again, just Orgy probably trying to get a little bit too clever, like he probably doesn't need to do that. So, again, score a good try in the second half where Andrew gets in the corner. But, you know, then we probably just a little bit too inaccurate overall in that last 30 minutes. And what does that allow? It allows Bulls to try and, you know, create a bit of some dominant pictures around some of the set piece, and then as you give away a penalty try, we cough up a few penalties around scrum as well, and that probably plays into the referee's mind even at the end, even though you could argue maybe there's hit and chase from them and it's unstable when we're being forced to put the ball in. Those little things, but again, listen, it's, we probably need to just be better there ourselves. So, yeah, a little bit frustrated, but, you know, it's come off, I think, a period of some good growth and some good progress overall, even though you don't get the 4 points, you get a point. And I said afterwards, it's a long way to go for a point, but anyway, we'll take it and move on. And
flanker Will Connors has been sharing what he expects of their next outing against the Sharks this week.
Yeah, look, they have a bit of everything. They have some big heavy forwards as well as lightning quick backs, and you know, it'll be another familiar face there with Jason Jenkins. It'll be good to see him out there, but yeah, I think we're expecting much of the same as the weekend. You know, really, really good set piece, and we have to meet them head on there and, you know, match them, if not go better there again. And there's a lot, you know, a lot of learnings we've taken from the Bulls game that we really want to bring forward into that Sharks game. But yeah, we're really excited. It's a huge game coming around the corner.
Finally, tributes have been paid to former All Black Alex Wiley, who has died at the age of 80. Known affectionately as Grizz, Wiley won 11 caps for New Zealand in the early 70s. He was assistant coach to Brian Lahore when the All Blacks won the inaugural World Cup in 1987, taking over the following year but leaving just before the defence of that trophy in 1991. Wiley helped solidify Ireland's World Cup hoodoo, coaching Argentina to a 28-24 victory over an Irish team coached by Warren Gatland in Lens in 1999. The Pumas would lose their subsequent quarter-final to a rampant France at Lansdowne Road, and Wiley would remain in Ireland in 1999, taking over from Brent Pope as coach of Clontarf. New Zealand rugby chair David Kirk, who captained the 87 Rugby World Cup side alongside Wiley as assistant coach, expressed his condolences today, saying Grizz Wiley embodied everything that makes New Zealand rugby special: toughness, resilience and an unwavering commitment to excellence. I remember him as a fierce competitor, an uncompromising player and a tough coach. His passing is a huge loss to our rugby family. That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feed to keep this podcast coming to you free of charge Monday to Friday. I'm Richie McCormack, and I'll be back with more Rugby Daily for you with thanks to Bank of Ireland tomorrow. Till then, thanks for listening.
To listen to all of our rugby coverage, become a member by signing up at offtheball.com/join now.